Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Shredders by Michael Cole. Narrated by Benjamin Williams. Chapter 1. He felt the bite. Son of a bitch! Will slapped his shoulder, squashing the mosquito against his skin. The bastard must have had a proboscis like a freaking drill for it to hurt like that. Alas, he got his revenge, though he would have to suffer the itching. Will didn't sweat it. After all, he had another itch to scratch, and he could hardly wait to get started. He was a quarter mile away, and he could hardly contain his joy. He didn't want to display it too much. Gotta be suave. Will was 27 years old. It wasn't his first time hooking up, but on the other hand, this wasn't a simple hookup. He was grateful for feeling unhindered excitement. The last couple of times carried a little weight from guilt, but the taboo of cheating was memorable. Intoxicating. Maybe it was the joy of doing something he shouldn't have been. The risk of being caught was thrilling in its own right. All through the drive, he was thinking out loud, "Oh, I shouldn't be doing this." Yet he was doing this. Even worse, he wasn't regretting it. Before, he at least felt a little guilty, but was still drawn back. It was like a clean living person doing an illegal drug and liking it, but wanting to stay clean. He rationalized it as the wedding was not for another 6 months. Technically, it wasn't adultery. Of course, if Vanessa used the same logic to screw around, he would be pissed, but Will deliberately forced that consideration from his mind. What she didn't know wouldn't hurt her. He passed a long stretch of rural area. Aside from a couple of properties, this whole side of town was nothing but summer green. There were more residential properties on the other side of Lake Carlson, but over here it was mostly country. He pulled into a winding dirt driveway, which led to a two-story house. With 3,000 square feet, its occupant had more than enough space. It was a nice property by a decent-sized lake. To think it was paid off made him a little jealous. The living room light was on, but she wasn't inside. Will could see a small fire in the front yard flickering just a few meters from the lakeshore. He saw the silhouette of a trim woman with hair that fell halfway to her back. She stood up as he parked the car. Even in the dark, he could tell she wasn't wearing much. Tight jean shorts and a cropped tank top. Their effect was immediate. And knowing Leah Talley, that was by design. She stepped into the stream emitted by his headlights, an athletically built woman who took pleasure in showing off her figure. Her sandstone-colored hair hung to her mid-back. She put a hand against the house and leaned, enticing her visitor with that smile. Will shut the car off and then got out. He hesitated only to toss his wallet and keys in the center console. He wasn't worried about anyone robbing his car. From what he knew, there had not been a serious crime committed in this town in over a decade. The cops here loved it. Who could blame them? If he could make 50 grand a year eating coffee and donuts, he would.
"Was worried you were getting second thoughts about coming?"
Leah said. "Not a chance," Will said. She smiled again. The headlights, which Will forgot to switch off, gave him full view of freshly whitened teeth. There was hardly a flaw to be picked out with Leah. Not a stress line, perfect weight, well-disciplined with a diet and exercise. Not worrying about a mortgage and car payment likely helped a little. Will had learned that her dad used to own a tractor supply market a few miles north. Being the only one for several miles, it did great business. A couple of years ago, he got terminal cancer in his lungs, which spread rapidly. He sold the business and gave Leah the profits before he died. She had been living comfortably ever since. Will finally turned the headlights off, then joined Leah by the house. He took the liberty of touching her bare shoulder.
"Want a beer?"
she asked. "Won't say no to that," he replied. She led him back to the fire. He sat on a chair next to the cooler. He cracked open a beer and gazed out into the lake. Even with the intoxicating presence of a woman as beautiful as Leah, he still had to take a moment to appreciate the nature around him. The crickets were chirping in the background. The water itself was calm, almost motionless. Something splashed in the distance, probably a fish catching a bug. The best part, in his opinion, were the loons. Right as he sat down, an eerie yet beautiful call echoed across the lake. It was followed immediately by another, originating from somewhere else.
"I bet they're lovers, calling to each other, craving companionship,"
Leah said. "Could be."
"You don't call me much."
"Well, I have to be discreet." She smiled, but didn't laugh. She pulled her chair next to his. Wasting no time, she casually reached over and undid the first button on his shirt.
What's Vanessa up to these days?
Will cleared his throat. It was surprising that she would bring his fiancée up. He wasn't sure if she was expecting a serious answer, especially since she was unbuttoning the next button of his shirt. Good. She reached under his shirt and rubbed his chest.
Enjoying her new job?
No complaints so far, he replied. She began planting a series of kisses on his neck. They were gentle at first, but were quickly intensifying, as was her breathing. And his.
Has she moved in with you yet?
No, not yet. That'll be in a month. Was this the right answer at this time? Judging by her actions, it seemed to be.
You excited?
I suppose so.
Leah pulled away.
You suppose so?
Will couldn't tell if this was sarcasm or if she was genuinely irritated. He decided to go with the flow. Very excited. That smile returned and Leah went right back to work. A carnivore she was. Her hands had become claws, raking at his waist. She planted her lips against his.
She's a nurse practitioner now, right?
Uh-huh. Once again, his answer spurred her on. She leaned back just long enough to pull her top off and throw it into the dark. Immediately, she threw herself back onto her lover. Will's hands moved up her bare back while he helped himself to the goods in front. Leah was a goddess. Every answer was like a drug, adding to a high which had no limits. This man chose her over his fiancée, who was also an accomplished career woman. Nurse practitioners made six figures, and still he decided to spend this night with her. As he had a thrill from doing something he shouldn't be, Leah was getting a thrill from being the other woman.
What does she think you're doing tonight?
It took several seconds for him to answer. He was pulling his shirt off and getting back to work nipping at her tan flesh. I told her I had a stomach bug. Didn't want to hang out.
Oh,
she said. She slid off him and strutted toward the lake. Panting heavily, Will watched her pull her shorts and panties off, her bare ass visible in the campfire's glow. She looked back and smiled, continuing on toward the lake. She was feeling especially adventurous tonight. She had one last question for him, and it had nothing to do with a woman.
You coming?
Will stood up, kicked off his shoes, and removed his pants. He stood, basking in the glow of the fire like a warrior in Native American times. He heard a scrumptious, sound from his lover. She was in the water, backstroking further out. As though just to appease him, the cloud blocking the moonlight finally moved. The glow was just enough for him to make out those breasts cruising along the water's surface like boat sails. Sorry, Vanessa. Love you, but a guy has needs. He hustled to the shoreline.
Oh, yeah. Get over here, big guy.
Think you can handle it, he replied.
Only one way to find out.
After wading waist deep, Will dove and swam toward the magnetic attraction which called for him. She was only 15 feet ahead, eagerly awaiting his approach. After a few strokes, he was past the point of touching the bottom. No way to hit the goalpost like this. Clearly, she wanted to fumble around in the lake before getting to the really good part. No problem. This was far more adventurous than anything Vanessa ever wanted to do. He closed within a couple of yards. Leah laughed, bracing to be seized in the mighty arms of this man whom she proudly seduced. Suddenly, she yelped and ducked under. Right away, she surfaced again, gasping for breath. Will laughed. Oh, no, you're not fooling anyone. Get over here, you filthy whore. Leah yelped again and floundered. She thrashed her arms out, sending frenzied laps of water toward Will. She lunged at him, not passionately, but desperately. Something's biting me. Ah! She writhed in agony, accidentally driving Will beneath the water. He hit the bottom, immediately pushing off with his feet. He rose to the surface like a rocket. Leah was thrashing, shrieking with each frenzied movement. This was no bizarre act. She was truly in anguish, as though she was being stung by 100 wasps simultaneously. Come here, the naked Will shouted. He reached out and grabbed her hand. He grasped it tight. The fingers were thin, bony, completely lacking flesh. There was no mistaking the texture of those hands as they'd been all over him. He pulled her closer, bringing her whole arm into the moonlight. There was no skin or muscle. It was all bone. Trying not to panic, he pulled her close to him. She was spasming, but no longer thrashing. She hung limp against him. There were no breasts pressing against his chest. They were gone, stripped away.
Her head hung to the side, the meat shredded around her throat, blood gushing from the jugular. This time he gave way to panic. He pushed her corpse aside and turned toward shore. Pain struck. He jolted. It was like a mosquito bite times 10. Another hit, then another, followed by another. 1 became 5, 5 became 10, 10 became 100. His flesh was being pulled every which way at once. Will struck the water with his hands, simultaneously attempting to swim and fend off these invisible attackers. His efforts only served to give them more meat to peel away. He flailed, mouth agape. He wanted to scream, but water kept rushing into the back of his throat. His flesh was coming off in golf ball-sized chunks. His toes were ripped from his feet. Ribbons of skin and muscle were peeled from his legs in a matter of seconds. Then they went for his penis and testicles. Up until then, Will thought he already experienced the worst pain in his life. He tasted his blood in the water. Even in his crazed state of mind, he was still determined to escape. He reached his arms out. From his fingers and wrists dangled 3 9-inch bodies. Skillet-shaped, they thrashed their tails while clinging to him with hook-like teeth. One fell from his finger and landed on his face. Knowing the scent of fresh meat, it attacked without hesitation. It ripped the eye from his socket with hardly any effort. Will sank into the weed bed, landing alongside Leah's skeleton, void of flesh. Chapter 2. Nothing is as nice as waking up to the smell of scrambled eggs, fresh bacon, and hot coffee. Royce Dashnaw knew he had the best daughter in the world. Ellen was probably the only 9-year-old he knew that actually liked being an early bird, let alone out of bed before her old man was. Even on his days off, she was an early riser. Sometimes she'd be reading a book, hanging out on their little beach, or doing chores. He checked his clock. 6 a.m. He could hear the coffee maker brewing. God, I love that kid. He took a quick shower, then put on his blue tactical pants and blue uniform. He watched himself in the mirror as he neatened his uniform, then quickly studied his jawline. A day's worth of beard growth. I should be able to get away with it. He ran a quick brush over his recently cut red hair, then strapped on his duty belt and thigh holster. Last but not least, he loaded his Glock 19 and secured it in that holster. Now for the important part, eggs and coffee. Royce found Ellen in the kitchen. For 9 years old, she was tall. She had her mother's blonde hair and green eyes, the only good contribution that witch gave to the kid.
Morning, Dad.
Hey, kiddo. He sat down at the dining room table. The plate was already set up, the contents smelling delicious. Kid, how lucky am I to have you?
Oh, very lucky,
she replied. Royce smiled. How mature and sharp she was. All A's in school, reading at a junior high level, and showing up the boys in athletics.
Want cream of this time, or are you going to be a man and drink it black?
Royce nearly choked on his foot. Where'd the kid get that wit? You're putting me on the spot, he said.
I'm forcing you to think carefully. That's what you're always telling me, right?
He smiled. I guess I better aim to impress and drink it black this time. Ellen filled the mug and handed it to him. He took it, then looked across the table. There was no other plate. Thanks. Did you eat already?
Yep.
Gosh, maybe I should get you a job in the department, he said.
Hey, I'd go for that. Better than hanging out at Jacob's.
Oh boy, now for the dad and me to kick in. Oh, come on now. Jacob isn't that bad.
He's not bad, per se. Just really annoying. He's glued to that stupid iPad, and he's a wuss.
Oh, be nice. It took everything not to laugh. Jacob was a nice kid, but Royce agreed he was a bit of a wuss. Once he took him along on a fishing trip, and the kid couldn't stand the sight of a worm. On top of that, he could barely set the hook. He either yanked on the rod too soon or waited too long. And yes, like too many kids in this generation, he was a little too heavily drawn to his electronics. Being the dad, Royce couldn't admit that to Ellen.
I'm not being mean, she said. I just don't see why you think I need a babysitter.
Believe me, kid, it's not what I think. It's the law. You're only 9. Gotta be at least 13. They're strict on that in this state.
Oh, stupid government bureaucracies. Think they know better than everyone else. Meanwhile, they go ahead and screw up the budget and everything else they touch. But hey, gotta look over the shoulder of parents.
She ran hot water over the dishes as she ranted. Once again, Royce tried hard not to smile. Damn, I freaking love this kid. All the lessons he taught her stuck like glue. She knew how to save money, how to cook for herself, had a good grasp on math, and also knew the importance of questioning things. More specifically, not taking things for granted. The only negative personality trait she inherited from him was the sense of ego. Royce had overcome his in recent years. Prior to that, he always had to one-up everyone, the smartest guy in the room, as a previous girlfriend once described him. You like Jane, though, right?
She's okay.
Ellen tried to think of the most politically correct answer as she scrubbed the dishes.
She's nice to me. Doesn't treat me like I'm an inconvenience.
She better not. I'm paying her pretty nicely to have you over there, he said.
Oh, no,
she laughed nervously, which in turn made Royce a little nervous. Jane was 19 and was home from college. Royce was starting to suspect she brought the crazy college life back with her. She's not having boys over, is she?
Just once.
Ellen saw the fork drop.
They don't do anything.
I don't care if they do anything as long as it's after I pick you up. He picked up his fork, sipped his coffee, then continued eating. That's good to hear. What else was there to say to that?
You could take me to work. I should work in the office.
Huh, I'm sure you could. But again, there are laws.
Government can't keep its nose to itself.
God forbid they see what goes on in this house. Royce finished his plate and handed it to her. All right, my little child laborer, clean that up for me.
She took the plate, then pointed a finger at him. I ought to get something for being such a good kid. I vote we watch Predator tonight.
Royce walked past her, deliberately hiding his smile. I'm such a horrible father. Predator, huh?
Yeah, movie's bad, really cool.
Yes it is. Royce grabbed his ball cap and pulled his vest from the computer chair. You sure you don't want to watch anything like, I don't know, Frozen?
Movie sucks. People freak out over it because it has one catchy song.
Royce once heard a coworker describe Ellen as a little Royce Stashnaw with a ponytail. He had to agree. Oh, all right. We'll watch it later on. I'll even get popcorn. Now go get your stuff. Gotta leave in a few minutes.
Yes!
Ellen pumped her fist into the air and ran off to her room.
Better not be the butchered TV version.
No, I wouldn't do that to you, he said. He finished putting on his vest. As always, he checked his gear. Not once in his police career had he ever been shot at. Half the cops in the little department didn't even wear a vest. But it looked cool, and Royce was willing to settle for that. Ellen came out with her bag. You should take your fishing pole, he said.
Yeah, I know,
Ellen replied, reserved.
Then I'd have to share with Jacob. I'd have to put on the worm, teach him how to cast again, unhook the fish, if he even manages to set the hook.
Royce hesitated before responding. Fact is, he agreed with her complaints. Aside from her, he hated sharing his fishing rod with anyone, too. Well, he sometimes hated letting Ellen use it. That's why she had her own. However, he needed to be a good dad and teach her to be kind and help others. Well, why don't you try and teach him? If he catches on, maybe we'll buy him one for Christmas or something.
I guess.
Hey, if you want to watch Predator...
Cooking breakfast isn't enough for you?
I thought you did that from the goodness of your heart.
I do, but still...
She stuck her tongue out at him. Ha, smart aleck. Go grab your tackle box. Who knows, maybe you could teach Jane something, too. Ellen went into the back room to get her tackle box and rod.
You ought to be the one teaching her.
Royce swallowed. Hooking up was a subject matter he wasn't quite ready to share with his daughter. She could be 30 and he wouldn't be ready for that. He chuckled as he stalled to figure out a response. She's a little young for me.
Heard her call you hot?
Ellen said. Not interested. Moving on.
That's good. I'd rather you get together with Pam from work. I know she really likes you.
Okay. If this conversation goes any further, CPS might start investigating me. Let's get out of here. Ellen smiled. Like any kid, she took great pleasure in driving her old man crazy. She went out the door first. Royce flicked the lights off. Definitely my kid. Chapter 3
Hey, come on, little bro. Time to rise and shine.
Jacob lifted his pillow and squeezed both ends against his ears. The whole point of summer vacation was to not get up at the crack of dawn every day. Go away. He heard the twist of the knob, followed by footsteps across his room. With a pull of a curtain came a stream of sunlight so bright that even his pillow couldn't shield him from it. Jacob tossed the pillow aside.
Come on. He looked up at her, only to wince. He'd probably be able to find something in his sister's features to poke fun at, if only the sun wasn't blinding him. Too bad his stupid window faced the east side. Jane was already dressed for the day. Being the college girl, she had to make sure her fit body was on full display with just the right touch of modesty to not drive away Ellen's dad. Jean shorts, red tank top that showed her abs. At the age of 9, Jacob didn't quite understand the attraction of skin display. He just figured it was the young adult style.
Ellen's gonna be here any minute, and you're still in your jammies.
Why don't you two play and let me stay in here? He put his head back to the pillow, only for Jane to yank it away.
Jacob, Mom already warned you about your attitude. My word, whatever I tell her is as good as the truth. If you want that PlayStation 5, you need to play your cards right.
Jacob stretched, then sat up. Don't know why you two want me to get up. Ellen doesn't even like me.
Aw, you sound disappointed. I think it's really cute you want her to like you.
What?
You have a crush.
What? No, ew, not that way. Jane chuckled.
Give it a few more years, you won't be saying ew.
Sis, you're weird.
Runs in the family, little brother. Now get your ass up.
She shut the door on her way out. Look at this. Nice lakefront property, plenty of space to fish. Maybe I should stay here and have you go to work instead. Ellen chuckled.
I could be a cop.
No, it was her dad who was laughing.
What? I could.
I believe you.
I really could. I'd use the nightstick and bash a criminal in the kneecap, then put him in an armbar.
All right, settle down. Royce pulled into the driveway. I'll give you this. There are plenty of jerks out there. I wouldn't mind doing that, too.
Oh, yeah. Like the tree huggers you told me about.
I didn't call them tree huggers.
Yeah, you did.
What?
Ellen nodded with exaggerated motions. And I heard you say you'd like to grill up a steak in front of them, then have them watch you eat it.
Royce snorted. I still don't remember saying that to you. Were you eavesdropping on my phone conversation with Pam?
It's not eavesdropping when I can hear you across the house.
Royce bit his lip. All right, you've got me there. That day I had some unpleasant encounters, was venting to a friend after work, and I might have said a few mean things. Come on, let's get you squared away. They got out of the SUV. Listen, sweetie, it's okay for people to be passionate about things. Some people tend to be a little overbearing. They tend to have a my way or the highway attitude. They can't accept the reality people have different tastes and opinions. Ellen collected the fishing rods and followed her dad to the door.
Is that the problem with the environment people?
They're called activists, and yes, at least in the case of this particular group, they tend to get pretty mean when they don't get what they want.
What do they want?
For people to stop fishing, for the tackle and meat shops to be boycotted, shut down, rather, all in the name of animal rights.
I know I wouldn't get along with them.
She proudly held up her fishing pole and tackle box. Royce laughed. Luckily, I don't think you'll have to worry about them. He went to knock on the door, only for it to open first. Jane threw her arms wide to give Ellen a hug.
Hi!
Oh, Ellen made a strangled sound as Jane squeezed her tight.
Good morning. How you doing today, little wannabe sis?
I'll let you know, Ellen sucked in a breath when Jane finally released her. Royce handed Jane an envelope. Here you go. Appreciate it, as always.
Oh, it's no problem, Officer Dashnaw. We're going to have fun, as always. I see Ellen brought her fishing gear along. You gonna fish with me?
Jane forced a smile.
Maybe I'll try throwing a cast or two. I'm not good with handling fish, but I'll make sure Jacob tries it.
Ellen would have rolled her eyes had her dad not been standing there.
Yeah, okay.
Royce patted her on the shoulder. Remember what I told you.
Yes, Dad.
Good. I gotta go. See you when I get off, hon. Royce waved to them as he returned to his vehicle. As he buckled in, he switched his personal squad radio on. As he backed out of the driveway, it started going off.
Dispatched any available unit, we've got a call at Monty's Tackle. Owner's informing me that the environmentalists are gathering outside his front door, chasing away customers.
Royce groaned. All I had to do was wait 30 seconds. He picked up the mic. Hey, dispatch, this is Dashnaw. That's on my way. I'll check it out. Have someone at the station punch me in, would you?
You got it, Royce.
That wasn't the dispatcher. Royce smiled. Thanks, Pam.
No problem. Dispatch, go ahead and log me to that call as well.
Unit 1 to dispatch. I'll head over as well. Chief Elwood and Officer Pam Netty. Everyone was starting early today. Ellen watched him drive off, then went into the house. Jane was heading for the hallway.
Jacob, you dress yet?
Almost done.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Jane returned to the living room and sat on the couch.
You hungry? I can fix you up something. No, thanks. My dad and I ate earlier.
My gosh, you guys really are early birds, aren't you?
Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Ellen thought for a sec.
I think it was Ben Franklin who said that. I might be wrong.
Well, maybe he has a point. Be nice if he included women in that statement, but that's beside the point.
Oh, gosh,
Ellen threw her head back.
He meant both. Everyone's so sensitive these days.
Jane laughed. I just said that to get a reaction out of you. You are so much your dad's kid. Ellen shrugged.
I guess that means I'm cool.
Darn right you are. Jane picked up one of the poles.
Well, it looks like we already have one of our activities planned out for today.
Going to the movies?
Both ladies watched a half-asleep Jacob penguin walk out of the hallway. He wore blue shorts and a black shirt with a Marvel logo at its center.
Not today, for the 100th time in a row, Jane said. Nothing good out anyway,
Ellen said.
The new Thor movie's out. I still haven't seen it.
Oh, gee, Love and Thunder, the feminized one?
It looks good. It looks stupid.
Jacob stuck his tongue out at her as he grabbed the TV remote. He got on Disney Plus and selected Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, God, not that one.
I think it's good, Jacob said. I like the action and the effects.
And preachiness.
Then don't watch it.
Ellen stood up and grabbed her fishing gear.
For once we can agree on something.
She turned to Jane.
Mind if I indulge?
Not at all. Jane looked over to Jacob.
Hey, bud, after you eat, why don't you try fishing with Ellen?
Fishing's boring.
No, it's not. Then why do you always say no?
Jane swallowed.
Well,
no point in arguing.
2 episodes, then I want you outside. Don't have to fish, but at least be out in the fresh air. Mom and Dad don't want you in front of the television all day. It's beautiful out. You'll have all winter to be cooped up in front of the television.
All right.
It'll be fun. We can play games. Right, Ellen? Sure.
Ellen's enthusiasm was partly genuine. Jacob was a little less annoying once the activity got rolling. Until then, she would leave him to his show, pretend Endgame was where the MCU officially ended, and catch some big-ass fish.
Chapter 4 Roy sped through the small town of Lorenzo, Michigan, ignoring the landmarks he usually enjoyed during his morning route. There was Dayton Park, a nice little area with a playground and a little creek. He'd often wave to the kids who recognized him as he drove by. This time, they stared in fascination as he sped past them with his cherry flashing. He passed the Army Monument, which featured a Sherman tank and a World War II artillery gun. His grandfather was a tank driver in Germany, and would often tell stories about the armored vehicle. Royce couldn't help but feel sentimental whenever he passed it. Then there was Barb's Bakery, where he'd sometimes stop for a donut or roll if he had a few minutes to spare. Instead of providing a pleasant second breakfast, all the bakery did was indicate he wasn't far from the incident he was responding to. There was a masked activist standing on the corner holding a cardboard sign. Tackle is ammo, rods are rifles, fishing is murder. Could these people be a little more creative with their slogans? He took a left at the next intersection. A couple 100 feet down was Monty's Tackle Shop. There was a small but lively crowd in front of it. As he approached, he watched 3 potential customers return to their vehicle. A 4th one, who, judging by the way he squared up with the leader of the group, did not take too kindly to being turned away. Royce didn't need to get a good look at the leader's face to know he was Kurt Lynn. He was 22 years old, skinny as a rail, and wore the same black shirt, which was 2 sizes too big. It wasn't just the clothing that made it obvious, but the demeanor. Most of the protesters, no matter how obnoxious and ignorant they were usually bright enough to know when they were outmatched physically. Funnily enough, it was the one with the least intellect that they chose as their frontrunner. Being 110 pounds soaking wet, Kurt felt he could go toe-to-toe with a 6-foot muscled-out meat-eating man with a Semper Fi tattoo on his forearm. Most sensible people would call out such a fool for his stupidity. Then again, people as irrational as those in this group mistook stupidity for bravery. Royce parked the vehicle and approached the crowd. Standing at the door was Monty Granger, a 55-year-old Marine retiree. Often, fellow veterans would hang out at his shop, smoke cigars, buy some tackle.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?